House Health and Human Services Committee will come to order, and the secretary will call the roll.
Here.
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 Quorum is present. We have a minute. Motion for the minutes. Motion by Representative Graves, second by Representative Heidemann. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right, we have one bill left this morning, Senate Bill 53. Madam Secretary, you're on. Give us the saga.
Yeah, I'll give you the saga. It's bizarre.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Deb Bowman, Department of Social Services. And first, Mr. Chairman, if I may thank you and the members of the committee for your indulgence in deferring this bill until today. Senate Bill 53 has been one of those bills where it had every good intent, and it's been a struggle along the way, but now it's a bizarre situation. Senate Bill 53 was a bill that would have extended the look-back period for people applying for long-term care services for Title 19 to 60 months. It was based upon the fact that within the Congress's Budget Reconciliation Act, that this change was going to be allowed. I believe I visited with the committee about a number of changes that would be occurring as a result of the Budget Reconciliation Act. When we first introduced this bill, the federal bill had not been passed. Congress came back into session and passed the bill, and on February 8th, the president signed the bill. So we were fairly happy about things and changes we were going to make. We started hearing rumblings this week that there was a problem with the federal bill. And actually what happened was there's finger pointing going on both the Senate and House side at the federal level, but apparently one of the clerks sent over the bill to the president for signature, and it was different than what they had passed. It was a simple, I think, typo, as we understand it from the media and different sources, as to whether somebody would get to buy their oxygen machine after 13 months or 36 months if they were a Medicare recipient. So it had nothing to do with anything related to Medicaid or what we've been attempting to do with long-term care insurance or any of those types of things. So we visited with Sam Wilson from AARP and asked him to check with his federal sources. I also called Senator Molly and Senator Thune's Washington, D.C. office, and the minute I said we're hearing rumblings that this bill is in trouble, Molly knew exactly what I was talking about and actually is the one who explained the oxygen detail to me. So I asked Molly, what do states do here, given the fact that this bill is now actually being contested in court? And she said, well, it's law right now, but you know, we don't know. And so we cannot exceed the federal requirements for the state. And right now, if we went with this bill of 60 months, that would exceed the federal requirements. Should this bill be in the court case one, and this bill be determined not legal? And so we are asking the committee today to defer to the 36 days Senate Bill 53 for those purposes. Now, if everything gets worked out, federal law supersedes state law, so we can go ahead and implement this, and then we would come back to you next year and request that we put into state statute the 60-month look-back period. So it's been a complicated couple of days here trying to figure out. My staff were on a statewide call with all the states yesterday afternoon, and all the states are running into the same problem, so and are concerned. But I apologize, it's caused us problems with another bill that we can fix, I think, in conference committee. But because we had the enabling clause taken off on the Senate side on another bill, and now we have to put the enabling clause back on. But anyway, it's been interesting for us. So I appreciate your kindness and consideration and holding this hearing today, and am sorry that this was the action that we are requesting, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, any questions on the part of the committee? All right, Chair will entertain a motion to defer to the 36th day. Representative Payne made it. Representative Miles, second. All right. Any discussion? All right. Clerk Chair, call the roll. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. It was sent by a vote of 11-0. Correct? Right. 2-2. All right.
Thank you.
The other thing, does anybody have any ideas for summer study that they would like to see? You don't have to have any. I'm asking, just asking if anybody has any topics that they feel that you ought to consider. Representative Boomgarden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I would ask your opinion in regards to electronic medical data systems, see if we can find a way to implement systems throughout the state so that coordination of cares can be feasibility.
We let the secretary go too soon because they're talking about it. And I don't know that us. I've also had some discussion with representatives from North Dakota who are talking about possibly doing some cooperative.
I'm like, with Mike, they're enjoying this today. South Dakota Healthcare Commission's last meeting in November, they're addressing that. It looks like at the request of the governor with Dave Hewitt, Steve Schroeder from the South Dakota Foundation of Medical Care, Dave Link, Sioux Valley, Dick Latouche, Rapid City, Paul Jensen, Medical Association, John Porter, Vera Health. So they are taking a look at that from what looks like from a statewide issue. So.
And guess who just walked in?
David.
Mr. Hewitt. Can you come to the microphone and tell us anything about that, Mr. Hewitt?
Electronic medical records.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Health Committee, my name is Dave Hewitt. I'm a lobbyist for the South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations, and we're going to talk about electronic medical records.
Representative Boomgarden, brought up the idea of having a summer study on that, and
okay.
I said that I thought that some things were going on already about that, and Representative Miles chimed in about the commission, and mm-hmm. So tell us what you know so far about it.
In fact, that subcommittee does exist and has met a couple of times. And really the first goal is to understand what's being done in the state relative to the development of electronic medical records. I think the three major healthcare systems in the state, plus CHI, which is the parent, operator of St. Mary's here in town and the Gettysburg Hospital, are in the process of implementing electronic medical record systems. I think the process is just to understand exactly how that's going forward. I can tell you that the three systems are spending millions and millions and millions of dollars over anywhere from 3 to 5 year period to make electronic medical records a reality. I think the committee's also come to the conclusion that it's important that while we understand what's going on at the state level, that this is really a federal issue, that the primary challenge out there really is about interoperability, that is the ability of the electronic medical record system at one of the Sioux Falls hospitals to talk with a hospital in North Carolina or Washington DC or somewhere else. So I think the state is very much aware and very much involved with trying to understand all the great things that can come from an electronic medical record system and how important that is at the national level as well as at the state level. The other thing that's going on right now, and I know a person in our office along, and this is really an effort that's being headed up in the Department of Health, is to pursue some grant dollars that are available in studying the coordination of electronic medical records. I think up to 40 states can qualify for that grant, and I know people in our office, people and headed up by the Department of Health, with the Medical Association and other groups, and the three systems, are working to put that grant language together. I understand it's a pretty tight time frame, March 1 being the submission date, so I think a lot of people are scrambling to get that done. But probably more than you wanted to know. But this is a very, but you asked. Yeah. So with that, if there are any more things that you'd like to know, we'd be glad to do it. But I think the Healthcare Commission is really handling the issue very well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. The other thing that I would remind you all of is that probably as members of the Health and Human Services Committee that you should be interested in receiving the minutes of the Healthcare Commission. And you can have that done electronically if you're interested. I offered that to Representative Griffey earlier, so that you can keep track of what they're looking at. I even have discussed the idea, and I don't know, you can think about that too and where we want to go with that, but by law, the way we set it up anyway, the Healthcare Commission does not include representatives because the governor can't appoint that one. I can't remember. I think he can't appoint anything that has to do with this. But sometimes I think there's a disconnect between the health committees and the commission, and I suggested, I discussed with Secretary Bowman at one point in time earlier this year, the idea that if we felt it was appropriate, that maybe we could have the executive committee of the legislature appoint people to the health care commission if we thought that we needed a better connection. And I don't know what you think about that.
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman, I think that's an excellent idea, and I would suggest that maybe as a chairman you even put that proposal to the e-board and have that at their first, because I do think that's an important thing. In terms of the governor appointing it, you know, it seems like we have different commissions that certainly there have been legislators on, but I think that would be an important suggestion to the e-board.
Okay. Because I keep looking at the fact that we go to meetings all over the country and we hear ideas from other states, and then how do we connect those to what's going on in South Dakota? And we have the Healthcare Commission that's meeting independent of us, and they're looking at some of the things that we've been concerned about and have been looking at. Representative Krause is not here this morning because she's presenting a bill at another committee, but she was very interested in the long-term care situation and went and got on one of the subcommittees of the Healthcare Commission, but there's none of us officially on it, you know? And so sometimes I think we got too many hands doing things without the other one knowing what they're doing, you know. Mm-hmm. So, Miles.
Well, I would agree with you because of the fact that, you know, some of us are on the health task force for like council, state governments. The proposal that Mr. Hewitt was just describing, with grant money, the state of Idaho or Rhode Island did that same type of thing with grant money. So there is a disconnect. We have members of the legislators on the risk pool advisory, so why would we not on the Healthcare Commission? Just to help bring those issues forward. I think the minutes are really valuable because, again, I have some ideas listening to different conferences national, and then come to find out we're already doing it,
right.
Which is, I mean, I think is good.
Right.
But again, when it comes to the Healthcare Human Services committee meetings, then it's like this. I would agree.
Okay. So we can't add to it without changing the statute. But we would actually have to bring the bill. Well. What does the committee feel about? Can we talk to Bill at this point? Pardon? The bill says appointment of commission members. Commission shall be appointed by the governor and shall consist of no more than 25 members, Secretary of Health, Secretary of Human Services, Secretary of Social Services, and the Director of Division of Insurance shall serve as ex officio members in advisory capacity. Additional members of the commission shall be representatives of each of the following groups: business slash employers, consumers, insurers, healthcare providers, public slash community health workers, governor's office, former legislators, tribal members, mental health providers, and Indian health services.
Mr. Chairman, are the ex officio members? You said the Secretary of the Department of Health.
They're all ex officio. We could be ex officio.
Would we have to change statute to be ex officio? You'd still have to change to add the.
Well, I don't know if we can solve that this minute. Let's think about that. Let's see where we go with that. But I would urge you all to get on the electronic mailing list for a minute and look at those and see what's going on there. And then you can certainly go and attend. I know when we did our insurance summer study this summer, and there was something they happened to be meeting the same day. So I went from the insurance meeting to their meeting and heard the reports on the long-term care study that Representative Krause was helping present at that meeting from that subcommittee. So I heard that part. Probably not going to be a big impetus to attend if you can't vote, but when you think about that, that would be a lot to mail.
And it's only makes sense because I think when Representative Hunhoff brought the bill to create the Healthcare Commission, it was the sense that we're here for 2 months, and yet these issues are considered and talked about for the rest of the 12 months. And so we created the commission to deal with those the rest of the time, and somehow we didn't connect it back to the 2 months that we're here. So, I mean, it's only a logical step that someone that represents both the Senate and the House Health Committee should be on that, whether it's in a ex officio or whether it's in a voting. But we didn't connect the loop.
Okay. Are there any other ideas for summer study?
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is not for summer study, but really going back to the Health Care Commission. And I would ask the Health Care Commission, and I don't know if I need to do it in a letter or if it can come from the committee, in terms of the x-ray licensing. I think the testimony during that period of time by the radiologic technologists and the radiologists, I don't think perhaps there was probably a doubt in anyone's mind that there is a patient safety issue here and that this needs to be addressed. And I know there's disagreement from the hospitals and the docs in terms of how it should be done, but I don't think that anybody disagrees that it is an issue. And this perhaps would be the appropriate place for that discussion because all of those parties are a member of that. So I don't know if it could come from the committee or if I should just do it personally, but I would like the Healthcare Commission to consider the x-ray licensing issue.
I would suggest you send a letter there. When they started, not when they started, but a year, maybe about a couple years ago, but anyhow, when they started, every so often they come up with a list of subjects that they're going to look at.
Just to follow up on that, and I will do that, and perhaps I'll just check with anyone on the committee who might, you know, be willing to sign on to that, that heard the testimony. Thank you.
That's fair. All right. Anything else? All right. I don't think we have any other bills. I guess I would like to thank Grace and Jackie for their participation, cooperation. And I don't know of anything else, so I think we are adjourned. Yeah, I guess we need a motion made by Representative McCoy. You haven't done a second? All right. And a second by Representative Yerke. All those in favor say aye. All right. We are adjourned.